Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWeb Results.
My name is Matt Bertram, party crasher.
He's a party alien crasher. Check hashtag. Out that hashtag party crasher.
Well, I just got back from like New Mexico, so I checked out Roswell. There was a, look, check this out. I didn't show you this.
Oh, you got alien socks on also. Yeah. Wow. That's alien-ish.
And you're wearing Star Wars results shirt there,
like,
right?
Like, we're like an entire space episode. This is kind of very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So remember, we are broadcasting live here from Houston, Texas. And Matt and I, we are your
Results Invaders.
Results Invaders. That's not bad.
Results Rebels.
Hey, I want to jump into this review. It's a little bit long, so I'm going to read it pretty fast. Yeah, go ahead and take a drink. It's a little bit long. It's from Alexandra. Don't spit. It's from Alexandra Schmidt, and it is, of course,
five stars.
It says, "You guys are absolutely amazing. I've been listening to the podcast on Spotify. I love that you've been doing these for so long. Talk about a binge." Yeah, that's cool, binge watching. Or listening. I wanted to say thank you for sharing your knowledge and experiences and helping educate not only web, SEO, and marketing professionals, but also the general public. I've heard you say that your clients are sometimes coming to you after being burned by other companies, and that is an unfortunate reality for most of us. But hearing you guys talk about and recommend the things we do day in and day out in our office for our clients is inspiring. I know we are doing the right things. I hope business owners that listen realize that many of us do care and are avidly working for their success. By the way, it sounds like there's an office of people behind Alexandra, so that's
awesome. Cool.
Very cool. With that said, I am hoping you could offer me some advice. There was one episode where you covered how to help your clients close more sales, and I wish you could have talked about it for another hour. You see, we have successfully moved one specific client up in search results, generating more clicks at a better cost in AdWords, have a strong social media marketing strategy, but they are not closing sales. Help me, please. I don't know if I should offer to sit in for a day, to listen to help with their sales process, plan guerrilla marketing days, send emails daily, or it's, and she's saying it's a local plumbing company for reference. And they have been very particular about sharing information like who their happy customers are so we can get them on an email list and ask for referrals and reviews. Any advice you could bestow would be forever appreciated. Alex, she goes by Alex. Punch in the face to you, Alex. She's with Voyager Marketing. So punch in the face for all that.
Yeah.
And we do sit in with our clients where we've gotten them good positions and they're struggling with the conversions and we've had to like give very
a little advice there. And also with plumbing, it's just funny. I had a client come in for plumbing and we did a handshake deal, put him in first position.
In Houston.
So if you type in plumber Houston, whoever's in first position, that's us. But bottom line is with selling, yes, the customer experience is very, very important. We're actually moving to some audio files that play when people are put on hold. Phone system to cross-sell different products. I think the customer experience is very, very important, but if you're using some kind of phone tracking system, we used to use CallRail, we've started to kind of move away from that because the data that the API has given us is not everything we need, but you know, something like CallRail, you can listen to the calls there and provide feedback. We do have our account managers listen to the calls and provide that feedback. And in some cases, we've even written scripts. We've created step processes, like a sales step or tiered funnel, to help them bring the clients in, because the salesperson or business owner is usually gonna do a better job selling than someone that they just hired. And so, you know, that training's important. You can provide them some framework. Listening to the calls and providing that to the owner really opens their eyes a lot of times.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that the line between sales and marketing is getting blurred, and there's definitely more you can do.
Yeah, and anytime you can add value to your clients, like, they appreciate it, it makes you feel good, it makes you more likely to keep the customer. So,
yeah,
so yeah, if you've got any specific questions or thoughts or ideas, we'd be happy to entertain those.
Yeah, we can do, you can sign up for a profit plan. We're also gonna be doing our first mastermind group. We've just finished that page, so we'll be putting
that
up.
Good.
And so that'll be in-depth training on how to actually run an agency. So,
yeah.
You know, we're going through some of that sort of thing, and then we'll be doing some different modules on social media, PPC, that sort of thing, to just provide more in-depth knowledge in a training setting. I'll also be doing some webinars and that sort of thing. So,
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, just keep your eyes peeled.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yep.
All right, so if this is the first time you've listened to our podcast, Howdy, and welcome to the podcast. If you've listened to this podcast before, you might be interested in some tips, some strategies, some tricks. You can get them, I don't know, maybe 20 tips for an awesome web design, top 10 SEO tips, 5 mistakes that could tank your business.
Ninja tricks.
Ready to learn our ninja tricks, right? That's on the screen right behind us. You can get those just by going to ewebresults.com/tips. Go ahead and get over there. We're actually gonna cover an article today. Half of an article day. 14 ranking signals you need to optimize for in 2019. This is from Ale Berisevich. We've covered some of his articles in the past, so punch in the face to you, Ale.
But tip.
He makes really good articles. So let's see, we've done the howdy.
We've done the howdy.
Not your shirt, but my shirt. So if you look, my shirt right here, this is, what is it? SEO results, right, with kind of a Star Wars theme. You can get that at our website, actually at our swag page, ironically or not ironically called ewebresults.com/swag. By the way, on the back it says, may the rank be with you. So it's just...
Not a Star Wars page.
No.
It is not that at all.
No. Okay. It's a... It has a vague resemblance.
Yes.
And anyone would recognize that it's totally different.
Yeah, totally different.
It's not.
Yeah. There's no copyright issues at all.
Yeah, so that's there. All right, let's jump into this. Again, 14 ranking signals you need to optimize for in 2019, Ale Berisevich. And so the first thing, he's kind of broken these into 3 categories. The first category is relevance.
Yes.
I guess it's more than obvious for any SEOs out there, and that's you guys, that Google is going nuts about getting into people's heads and providing them with the most relevant search results. We've been saying from the beginning on the podcast, if you deliver great value to the Google user, then Google will be very appreciative of you.
So I want to kind of speak to that, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that cannot be stressed enough how much content plays into SEO.
Yeah.
It should be your North Star. You gotta have a really good piece of content. So all the other things that you do go back to the content.
Yep.
Okay, so there's 250 plus ranking factors. There's all kinds of little things that you can do, but you have to have a quality piece of content that answers the user's question.
Yep.
Like, what is the price?
And what he'll cover, what Ale will cover in this is it needs to answer it comprehensively.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. Google also considers such factors as users' search patterns, search history, location, and time.
Yes.
So those are all very important. So number one in the relevance category is accordance to search intent. When searching users have certain intent, right? So you go out there, you do a search, your intent is to find a piece of information, find a restaurant, to read reviews, or you have an intent. So Google's working really hard to try and understand what that intent.
Well, so to just go into a little bit more on intent, not to take too long, but really.
You have 10 seconds.
All right. All right. So when you're talking about users' intent, there was a study done years and years ago that basically talks about what are users' intent online. And users' intent is about 80% searching for some kind of information. So big picture, you know, only 10% of people are ready to buy something. A lot of people are optimizing buy pages. Well, people aren't ready to buy. They're ready to do research to buy or research to find something, but they're not ready to buy immediately. You know, another 10's kind of search results or location results, map results, that sort of thing. But 80% roughly people are searching for more information to make a decision, right? And then if you want to break that down further on the type of buyer's journey that they have, you know, you got top of the funnel, you got the messy middle, you got, you know, convertible content, or to kind of pre-frame them. The AIDA model Google used to promote a lot, attention, interest, decision, action. That's how you want to break it down into what are the intent keywords. Right. And then, you know, here's something, if you're using these research ranking tools, look for tools that have a bid auction. Right? So if people are bidding on the word, it's a pretty mature market, the AdWords market. And if people are bidding on it, there's probably people that buy from that or close to buy from that. If you look at the price, it's something to look at. So
Yeah, absolutely. So he goes on to say, satisfying search intent almost always results in higher CTR, click-through rate. Now, one of the things that I'm going to say is that's assuming you have a good meta description, right? Because if you get on a SERP, the search engine result page, you even get in good position. By the way, you can get there with on-page activity, but you're not going to stay there long if you don't get a good click-through rate. And you're also not going to stay very long if you don't get good activity.
Time on page, people take on action, you don't want people clicking back, that sort of thing.
So one of the questions is how do you discover what the search intent is? Right? Ooh. Have you been in a sales position where you're talking to somebody and they're like, hey, I'm trying to get good placement for this, and I think these are the right searches. And then when you do a little bit of research, you're like, it turns out those searches aren't the right ones.
It has happened once or twice in the past.
I can think of one, right? We discussed my wife's website, right? Uh-huh. Aka Language. And really, she came in and like, I want Spanish, English, French, German, Italian. And when it comes to training languages, it's in Houston, it's English, Spanish, and then sign language. I can promise you my wife never thought that sign language would even be on the list. Right.
So yeah, you know, we're starting to become like data scientists, right? Marketing's really data driven, and you want to do what the data says. And if there's no demand, you got to go to social media or Facebook, run some ads, create some demand.
Right.
But if there's already demand, you want to harvest that demand with Google, and you really want to look at that data to help better make business decisions when you're doing stuff.
So. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of one example, and I think one of the examples is when you talk about arc welders. I think there's a situation where we've got a commercial vendor for arc welders, right, who leases arc welders, and when you do a general arc welder search, you end up with, you know, small arc welders that you can buy at Home Depot or whatever, and this is obviously not the search that he wants. So what that tells you is, from a Google user search intent, if somebody's just typing arc welder, they're a home user and they're looking for an arc welder. If they type like arc welder lease or something else, then the results on that page are more kind of commercial focused.
Yes, that we could do a whole podcast
on
just intent.
Yeah.
Intent is something very important. I think, you know, the little term measuring twice, cutting once, even when building websites and that sort of thing, super important to understand the target persona and the buyer's journey. And we put a lot of emphasis on that strategy on the front end, because then the execution on the back end becomes a lot more clear.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're spending a bunch of time, you get to rank for a word that doesn't have user intent.
Right.
Then now you gotta unwind that campaign or keep that campaign,
right,
and then go start a whole nother campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's better to get it right the first time to get you to leads quicker, because if you don't get to that first page, you're not seeing much anything.
Yeah. And so what the kind of summary of that is, if you do a search for the keywords and you look at the results on that page, Google's probably telling you it's already figured out the intent for that phrase, and it's showing the results for that page.
Well, I think that's something important. If you go do a manual search and you think that word is the right word and you're not getting the same kind of results.
Yeah, it's not your competitors.
If your competitors
aren't on that page, then it's probably the wrong intent.
Yeah, that's happened a number of times.
Yeah.
So you gotta look for that. Yeah.
All right, so next is CTR. So obviously this is click-through rate. An increase in CTR almost every time entails a significant ranking boost. And again, you've got to understand that the thing that people see under the first heading on a SERP, search engine result page, is your meta description.
Yes.
So is your meta description enticing enough? Does it tease enough? Does it also kind of guide them what's going to be the next step so that they know, hey, this is the actual page that I want to click through on? So pay special attention to pages that rank high but have low CTR. Title tags, meta descriptions are maybe not relevant.
Yeah, a lot of people are using it for SEO and they're not really thinking about the user.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Or people are just, you know, glossing over it completely.
Yeah.
If you're really doing some A/B testing, maybe run it in AdWords.
Yeah,
right?
Because you can get data really fast.
And you can get data really fast and you can see that data and you can kind of A/B test what works best. And, you know, that will help boost the SEO of that particular page. But, you know, in today's world, from usability to testing the ad copy, test it out in AdWords. I encourage you to do that. Spend $100, see what comes up, and you know, figure out what to do from that point. But yeah, CTR plays into SEO. It's a good ranking factor. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So this next category is called content.
Yeah.
Rankings and you've already said this. Rankings and content have always belonged together. Like always, your piece of content should also satisfy the below listing ranking factors, right?
Man, it's like I almost read this article.
It's almost.
Almost.
Three keywords. Number three, keywords on your page. That's not three keywords on your page. That's number three keywords on your page. 2019 keywords and the title tag still remain a powerful ranking signal. It's one of the key ways that Google can key in on what is the information on that particular page.
That was good, Chris. Did you prepare that?
That
was awesome. Here. I like it.
Keywords should be present in the page's body, alt text, H1 tag, but never overuse it. Also, optimize for some related terms that would accompany them. So if all you've got on your page is just the one keyword, and we could talk about, I don't know, arc welding, and you don't mention welding rods, which is something that typically will go with an arc welder or depending on the arc welding that you're talking about, then you run the risk of Google going, oh, like you don't have the auxiliary information that should be there.
Well, I would say, think about it and how we do SEOs and kind of keyword sets. We're not doing like 50 words at a time.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what those keywords are and what are those related terms. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're talking about cubicles,
yeah.
Workstations is another word for cubicles.
Yes.
Refurbished, used, similar terminology. So, you know, you want to start using semantic learning. I think it's called the LSI graph. You can use some searches there. Google does look at that and then looks at other related terms, as well as, you know, when you're building your on-page link structure, you're linking to stuff that people find to be associated with that.
Right.
One of the pro tips.
Yep.
Give a pro tip.
Pro
here.
Tip. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Where's our pro tip sound?
Yeah. What's a pro tip sound? We need to have sounds.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Oh my gosh, we could have sounds. What buttons? Yeah. Oh my gosh. These are good advancements that we could make. Go look and see. Are you
you're
listening
good.
On
you're
your
good.
Phone?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You're good.
There's
keep
crazy
going.
Things happening. All right, yeah. Go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Go to Wikipedia. Google likes how Wikipedia organizes data. Go to Wikipedia, see how they structure whatever it is you do and what that topic looks like.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
That's
I
a
do.
Good way to kind of get
yeah.
your structure. With Hummingbird, Google now prioritizes pages that match the meaning of the query rather than the separate keyword. So again, that's the semantic learning you're talking about. And this is interesting. I don't know if you've heard of TF-IDF analysis, which calculates how frequent certain keywords are used on your competitor's site. So
where's that?
It's right here, right there.
Next page?
I think it's the next page.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you
not,
can get lots of
I've
relevant
not.
Terms and concepts used by top ranking competitors. By the way, I checked it out. Basically, it's just saying, hey, given this keyword which will give you the search result, right?
Uh-huh.
And it goes in and analyzes what percent, how many times that keyword is used on those pages and gives
why don't
data
we just
that.
Build that as a little widget and put it on our website and SEO resource? Because that sounds like just scraping the page, you know,
yep.
matching the keywords,
yep.
doing a search.
You can
show
that in SEO quick. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's good data.
Oh, you're right. It's okay.
It's competitive keyword.
Yeah, well, it's
but
just density.
Density.
It's
yeah.
just the density.
At the end of the day, it's density.
Well, okay,
well,
I'm already doing that. Never mind, but that sounded so like.
My first response,
like,
I was like you. I was all over it. I even grabbed one of our content director, and I was like, hey, look at this. Have you heard of this? And then we did a little bit more research, and I was like, oh, okay, that's keyword density.
Well, you had me going. You're like, have you heard of this and this term?
And I was like, no, I'm
all like,
over
this
it.
Is an awesome.
We need a tool.
Yeah.
All right, next. Next is not surprising, grammar, right? Publish mistake-free content. And one easy way to help you with that is Grammarly. What is our rule before content goes out here?
Three I's before it flies,
because we want it to be accurate. And that's as much for Google as it is for our clients. And if you think about that, it's the same thing, right? Because if you're providing a good experience to the Google user, then you're making Google happy.
It's true.
And we got two more that we're going to cover in this podcast, and then we're going to postpone the rest of this. So number six is
cliffhanger.
Well-structured HTML.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes, search engines still rely on HTML structure and its semantic markup. No matter how cool your content is, if the search engines can't figure out the content and what it means and the order and all of those things because your HTML is all messy, it's not going to help.
I can say that structured data is so underutilized by most SEOs, and understanding the categories and tags and how Google's putting your content in a box to understand what's going on is so important.
I would say it's
that's like number two after the real content.
I would say think about looking at a block of text and then also thinking about having bullet points in that text. Like, which one are you more likely to at least engage with a little bit? Yeah. It's going to be the, so you're telling Google exactly the information that's there and everything good about it. To make your HTML even more structured, guess what they want you to do? Schema markup.
Of course.
Right? Google's testing tool to make sure that your schema is showing up correctly. Really
and
important.
I would say developers, or what is it, developers.web or Google Webmaster Tools or whatever.
Yeah, Webmaster Tools.
Webmaster Tools, but like the developer
section.
No,
Search Console now. Is that what you're talking about, Search Console?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a section in there in the Webmaster Guidelines that basically tell you all the different kinds of schema, how you want to organize your categories and tags. Look, Google tells you how to do SEO.
Yeah.
It like lays it out for you. It's not
do it
super,
this way.
It's not like super black box, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically like they lay it out for you. Just follow the yellow brick road.
Yep. Follow the rules. All right, so this is number seven and the last one. Again, this is from Ali Berisevich. Content uniqueness. Google appreciates uniqueness, and as much as it appreciates uniqueness, it penalizes duplication. Right?
That's true.
No duplication issues. So one of the things that you need to do, and there's a tool out there, Copyscape, you can use to make sure you check your pages so that they don't have duplicate content. Now we know, like, one of the challenging areas is online stores. Like if you
tool-wise.
Not just Copyscape. Okay.
Well, so we're talking about uniqueness.
Yes.
Okay, dupe content everybody talks about.
Right.
Okay? But Google's looking for a lot of different things. I'm not going to go through the list of all the things that they're looking for in unique, rich content.
We can barely do seven in this one.
Yeah, but what I can tell you is I was using a tool the other day that analyzed the writing to tell you how many common words you used.
Right.
It broke it into like four categories, and it was like really unique words and like directional word, like it broke it into all these, like, what is the word's intent?
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of common words in what a lot of people write.
Right.
Well, Google's looking for that uniqueness,
right?
And so emotional words, Google likes so there's a lot of different things that it was looking for, and it just was interesting to, in a snapshot, be able to see your data and see like where that falls.
Yeah.
Again, these are tools to just give you some insight into what a computer's looking at or an AI's looking at.
Right.
They're doing this kind of rough analysis.
Yeah, they're doing that analysis.
Right,
on the back
and then it's getting more and more advanced. But if you don't know it, you know,
maybe
then,
you're writing at,
yeah.
And ultimately that tends to figure out like a grade level that you're writing at.
Well,
right?
Yeah, you can break it into,
kind of
you can break it into that. Like there's a lot of ways that you can look at content, but there are some really good tools out there to give you a better visibility on what Google might be seeing because you're not looking at that. And then ultimately what the user's seeing, because Google's trying to adapt that algorithm to match what the
what's happening.
What the user wants, yeah. Right? So.
Absolutely. Check your pages. Then we're going to say, so one of the challenges that you have if you're trying to avoid duplicate content is if you own a store, an online store, and you're selling just what everyone else is saying, you're probably taking the description from the manufacturer and putting
and
it on
the
your
image.
Website, and then it's just dupe content, right?
Yeah.
So basically make your product description as diverse as you can, because that's even true within the different products that you have on the same site, right? So maybe it's different bottle sizes, maybe it's travel size versus whatever, maybe it's different colors. You want to write content and make it as diverse as possible.
I mean, I think that that's probably another pro tip out there,
yeah.
Is everybody's selling the same thing if you're not, you know, selling it on Amazon or whatever, but whoever posted that content first, probably the manufacturer, they're the ones getting credit for it.
Yep.
So if your page just has product description on it and those, you know, images that they give you and everybody else has that, and you go add a couple sentences, maybe a unique picture, a testimonial,
yep,
you're going to pop because everybody else has the same stuff and you're providing more value or more uniqueness.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. One of the other things he points out is that you can use user-generated content. So if you've got these products, like reviews on your site, because then you're going to have this unique content.
That's like the most beautiful thing that all these social media platforms ever did. They're like, we're not news sites. We're not news sites. We just provide
the platform
for people to post content. That's how they skirt all these regulations. But think about how awesome it is that they just built a platform. And that's why they're kicking the news site's butts on revenue, is they don't have to provide the content, you provide it,
yeah.
Right? So if you can set that up in your social media or with your followers
or on your website.
Or on your website,
with
reviews,
the product pages. Yeah.
You should try to. It's a home run.
So. Absolute home run. All right, so Ale Barisevich, round one of this particular article, 14 ranking signals you need to optimize in 2019. Punch in the face to you,
yes.
Ale. We're going to get to your next podcast here very soon. For prospective clients, if you liked this podcast, right? If you liked this podcast, we're going to ask you to do something. You know, we don't get paid to do this podcast. We get paid in reviews.
Oh,
so,
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
So I stole that, by the way, from a podcast I was listening to. So we get paid in reviews. So go ahead, if you think we're worth it, go ahead and pay us with the review. You can put it on.
Yeah, this is a good meal.
Yeah.
Was this a good internet marketing meal?
Yeah.
If this was a good internet marketing meal, please leave us a review.
Please leave us a tip, right? It's a good meal. You leave a tip for the waiter.
Yeah.
Like we provided
I'll take
a good
it.
Meal. Yeah. Just go to ewebresults.com/G+, and that'll take you directly to our search result page, and up there will pop up a place where you can leave us a review. Hopefully you'll make that review
five stars.
You could also go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ewebresults.
Or actually you could go to Yelp. Yelp's hiding reviews and we want some more Yelp reviews. So if you are logged into Yelp and that's easy, please do that for us. We appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. If you're looking to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet.
The internet. But outside the planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hot dogs apparently outside the planet.
Well, he's got a drink and a hot dog. He's coming here. So on the planet, it's the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
give eWeber Results a call for increased revenue in your business. 713-592-6724.
Yep.
Let's see, what else do I have here? It's been a while.
Howdy.
If you have a referral, go ahead and send the referral to us.
And we'll give you credit. If you do marketing with us.
We'll give you credit.
We'll give you credit on marketing with us.
All right. So please remember, we were filmed live here at 13501 Northwest Freeway, Houston, Texas, 77040.
He's got it.
Suite 5.
500-35.
500-35. If you like transcript video or audio of this podcast, you can find it on Best SEO Podcast. Is it bestseopodcast.com?
Yeah. Bestseopodcast.com. And we are launching that as a new site.
Yeah.
Probably by the end of the month.
In the last podcast, we said don't go there. You can go there.
You can go there.
And then let us know.
We
you
said
go
don't
there
go
later.
There. You I thought we said no more customers.
You also said that.
And then people called me anyway.
Anyway.
So that's not helping. But we are here. We're available. We've been working on some great new processes. We've been hiring some new people. This is kind of our slow period, which is been pretty not busy. Slow. we're kind of gearing up for the end of the year. We've made some great progress. We brought in some great new team members. We are looking for content writers. If you're a blogger, and you want to work remotely, we definitely are looking for that right now. If you're local and you have some internet marketing chops, we're looking for account managers. So reach out to us, submit a review online, give us a call, come check out our office. We are hiring.
Yes, we are definitely hiring. All right, well, that wraps up our podcast. We are one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts in the known universe, right? Pointing at a shirt.
I like it.
The known universe. If you're following
in the yellow book.
If you're on YouTube, subscribe and follow. Connect with us in any way you can. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.
Highbrow, tamely, gamely, headed my way, cool as mountain snow, girl, glow, girl, pining, shining, needing some play. Where have you been all my life? Something pure yet so refined, I'm gonna find my. She's gonna set me free.